This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على شرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فمن بعد My brothers and sisters, we are coming to a close almost of this series of lectures and classes on reflecting on the Quran. And I remind myself and you that the Kitab of Allah, the Book of Allah, did not simply come for us to read it or for us to debate about it or for us to analyze it in terms of its grammar and this and that. It came, the purpose of it, all of these things, alhamdulillah, we should read correctly. We should, the miracles of the Quran are there for us to look at and to marvel at. But the purpose of the coming of the Quran, the purpose of the nuzul of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only one, which is that it should be followed. That the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be obeyed and that we should submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in joyful and in loving submission. Not in reluctant submission, not in resentful submission, not in the way that the Bani Israel submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised a mountain on top of them and threatened to crush them with it. We do not submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of fear. We submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of two things. One is His khashiyat in our hearts, which is the name for a feeling of awe and majesty of Allah, and combined with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which alhamdulillah in our case supersedes the love of anyone and anything else. This is the state of the believer, this is the state of the mu'min, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this state for all of us and myself. My brothers and sisters, the way to do that, the way to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of joyful and loving submission is to follow the sunnah of our master, of the messenger of Allah, of the Rasul of Allah, Amirul Anbiya, Imamul Anbiya, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and that is to follow his sunnah. This is what makes Islam so beautiful and so simple. There is no complication in it, there is not even a need for anyone to be learned or anyone to attend school or university or something in order to follow Islam. Islam is followable by anybody in any place, in any situation. And what makes it so simple is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a living guide of what is to be done. The most important thing that I remind myself and I request you to remind yourself is that all of these, the sum total of Islam, the sum total of all the laws and rules and regulations and whatnot of Islam are for our benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing benefits Allah, nothing harms Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore when we follow Islam, this is what we would do anyway in order to live a beautiful, harmonious, successful, influential life in this world. Even if we were not Muslim, if somebody said to me, show me a way, because I'm a life coach as well. So if somebody says to me, and when they say to me, show me a way in which I can be highly successful in this life, as well as be influential, as well as be popular, loved by people, what is the way? I will tell them, and I do tell them, the Islamic way of living life, the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Even if they are not Muslim, if they follow the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if they walk like he walked, if they talk like he talked, if they deal with people the way he dealt with people, if they deal with their families the way he dealt with their with his families, if they do business like he used to do business, if they are in authority, if they use their authority the way he used to use his authority, all of these and more, if they just simply do that, then they will benefit and they will become highly influential and highly popular, and they will become highly successful in this life. For the believers, for the mu'mineen, for us inshallah, there is an added benefit, a bigger and far bigger bonus, and that is the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhir. This is for the believers, because we follow the sunnah not only because we want to be successful in this world, but because we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our first motivation, the niyyah with which we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah is what? Is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It so happens that this also makes us successful in this world. In India, there is a company called Tata Steel. And this company, in their advertisements and in their promotions of their CSR work, they used to have an ad which spoke about their CSR work which they did. You know, this village they dug wells, and that village they helped people in agriculture, and some other place they did this or that, their social work. And the tagline, the bottom there, a line would come on the screen, you would see it, and we also make steel. And we also make steel. Now, this is a steel manufacturing company. That is their core business. But the way they choose to portray it is that we are actually in the business of helping people. We also happen to make steel. Now, I'm not talking about deceptive advertising. I am talking here about the reality of the Muslim, which is that we live our lives, and we should live our lives, in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which also makes us successful in this world. We are not fooling anybody, we are just saying that the reason why we live, this is not to say that it's mutually exclusive, because it is not. The reason why we do something is because we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for anything else. Now, it so happens that when you live your life to please Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, and you follow the, and thereby, when I say that, it means that you follow the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then automatically you also become successful, automatically you also become influential, automatically you also become popular, automatically you also become somebody who everybody loves and honors and respects. This happens by itself, not because that is the reason you are doing that. You know, if you see, for example, I mean, sometimes in India we see this on a railway platform. Obviously, in India there are huge crowds, and if you go to a platform, there are a lot of people milling around. But if there is a group of Sikhs, you know, four or five Sikhs, and if they are dressed like Sikhs, I mean, nowadays even the Sikhs have, you know, many of them don't wear their traditional clothes. But if they are dressed like Sikhs, meaning that they have turbans, they have big beards, then they stand out. It looks as if they are the only people on the platform. Now, the fact that they look so impressive, if you ask them why you dress like that, what will a practicing Sikh tell you? He will say, because this is how Guru Nanak told us to dress. This is our traditional religious dress. Now, he's not dressing that way to impress people, but people are impressed. Now, I'm giving you examples to show the beauty of the sunnah of Rasulullah, which if we follow, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the good sense to follow this beautiful method which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted us with. When we do that, we automatically benefit. We are not doing it for that reason. There's another reason I'm saying that, because if somebody is doing it for that reason, then you lose out on the actual reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? But if you understand this and say, well, all our actions, we do them only for one reason, that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you fast? Because Allah said so. Why do you pray? Because Allah said so. If somebody says, I'm fasting because 30 days of fasting will detoxify my body and it will, clean my blood and it will reduce my cholesterol and whatnot, then this fasting is not Ramadan. This is not this is not a ibadah. Excuse me. This is not an ibadah. This is he's doing it for his whole health reasons. The ibadah happens only when the amal is done with the niyyah of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innamal amalu bin niyyat. So therefore, when the Muslim follows the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he or she is the niyyat is, the intention is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, the person gets a huge bonus and reward also in the akhirah. But in this dunya, it also makes him successful. And that's the fringe benefit as far as the Muslims are concerned. Now, so therefore, I strongly, to the highest possible extent, I advise you to reject all bid'at, reject all innovations, and to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the best of our ability. In that, there is khair for us. Now remember, we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this in the salah. When we said, Ihdina salat al-mustaqim, this is what we were asking for. Oh Allah, guide me to the path of righteousness. And who is on the path of righteousness? Guide us to the path of righteousness, the path of those who you rewarded. And who are those? The Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Salihin, and in the Anbiya, the best of them is their leader, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yasin wal Quran al Hakim, innaka la min al mursaleen ala siratu mustaqim. Ala siratu mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, you are on the path of righteousness. So when we say, ihdina sirat al mustaqim, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us on the path on which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. So then, how can we reject what we asked for in Salah? Now it's a completely ridiculous thing. We cannot be asking for something and then when Allah gives it to us, we reject it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. So let us make tawbah, let us make istighfar, and let us make tawbah and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change our ways, lest we are held among those who said one thing and did something else. And that is a very serious thing. People who angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent where He refused to forgive them, even if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for them, these were the munafiqun. Now I'm not saying you will become a munafiq if you do not follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but definitely, deliberately, if you and I break the sunnah, if you and I refuse to follow the sunnah, if you and I choose a way other than the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we are playing with fire. Quite literally, we are playing with fire. So let us not do that. May Allah protect us from following the path of shaitan, which leads to the hellfire. Now we come to the last ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha, as I mentioned before. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim wal dhalin. Allah said, see this thing, just think about this, that the dua for guidance effectively is over with ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. So Allah, guide us to the path of righteousness. Now sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim is really further clarifying and reiterating what we asked for. Sirat al-mustaqim. What it is and what it is not. So first, what is sirat al-mustaqim? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Right? Consider this. When you want to show somebody the way to some place and you want to be doubly sure that the person will not make a mistake, you say, go this way, not that way. Right? Simply saying go this way was sufficient. But you want to make doubly sure, so you add not that way. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask for. The way of those who received His blessings and earned His pleasure, and not the way of those who incurred His anger and those who fell into misguidance. Now truly the Quran is a book in which there is no doubt. A book which is completely clear for those whose hearts are pure and in whose hearts there is no disease of hypocrisy. And that is the importance therefore of tazkiyatun nafs even before we approach the Quran. Because if the place where this Quran is going to be placed and where it is going to reside, which is our heart, if that place is unclean, if that place is filthy, if that mirror which reflects the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is covered with the ra'an of the dunya, with the shell, with the curtain which blinds it of this dunya, then how can it receive the tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever He likes, but the whole issue of the receptor being healthy and being capable of receiving what is transmitted, this is what I am trying to emphasize here. So therefore the Quran is a book in which there is no doubt. There is no doubt about this. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah did not say هُدًى لِلْمُنَافِقِينَ. Allah did not say هُدًى لِلْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah said هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Basically being a muttaqi is a precondition to getting hidayat from the Quran. So who is a muttaqi? A muttaqi is somebody who is concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A muttaqi is not necessarily an alim or something. Right? Anybody can be a muttaqi. A muttaqi can be someone who really is in the dunya terms is illiterate. Right? Somebody is maybe a farmer in a village who is stealing the land and so on, he cannot even read and write. There are these beautiful stories which are told. Of course Allah knows if these stories are true, they can certainly be true, there is no doubt about that. But if you tell me specifically where is this guy, what is his name, which village, I cannot tell you because even I don't know. But there is this lovely story which says that there was this man who he was a farmer, he was an illiterate farmer, he used to till the soil and so on and work for wages. And he died. So when he died, people noticed that there was this beautiful aroma, around his body. And then when they put him in the grave and all the signs of the of Khatima bil Khair, these were there. So one of the it so happened that there was an alim who was in this village, or he came there or something. And he recognized these signs. So he knew that this person who died was a special person. So he wanted to find out, what is it, this man? Who is this man? What did he do? How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah showed so many karamat with regard to this man's death. Which inshallah, these are bashara and good news that this man inshallah will be in Jannah. So he went to the family and he asked them, he said, please tell you, who is this man? Was he a great scholar? Was he somebody, maybe Hafiz Quran or something? So his wife said, for God's sake, this man, he did not even know to read and write. He was a farmer, he used to till the soil. If there was no agriculture happening, he would work as a headload coolie in a construction site or something. He didn't even know, he couldn't even write his name. He used to put a thumb impression to get his wages. So this man, this alim was very surprised. He said, then what did he do? Is there any special amal he did? And, maybe some special wazifa, or he used to pray all night in tahajjud or something. His wife said, no, he did not do any of those things. He used to pray 5 times a day. He used to pray. He knew enough to be able to pray. When he was, that's like we always learn in at home. We don't know what we are reciting, but we recite. So anyway, so she said he was like that. He did this. What he used to do was, she said that every night when he came back from work, he used to have a bath. And then he would take the Quran and he would open it and he would run his finger on the line of the Quran, on the writing. He would run his finger from one end to the other and he would say, this is the truth. Then he would run his finger the next, he said, this is the truth. And the next third line is, this is the truth. And she said, this is what he used to do. Every night he would sit there for whatever period of time it was, and he would run his finger across. He could not read the words. He did not know what it was. He would just run his finger like this across, and he would say, "This is the truth." That is all. And Allah Subhanahu wa Taala gave him a khatima bil khair, and all the beautiful signs of the forgiveness of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala were shown to this man. Now, please, I don't want you to, you know, get into this spin about, as I told you about who is this man, where is, what is the address, what is the phone number. In any case, he must be in Jannah, so there is no phone number. And I also don't want you to, unfortunately, we have to make all these disclaimers, because there are people who are sitting there and say, are you saying, Shaykh, that it is okay not to understand the Quran? It is not important to understand the Quran. Please, have mercy on yourself, right? So the point I'm making here is that in order to be a muttaqi, it is not necessary to be an alim. It is not necessary even to be literate. A muttaqi is somebody who is concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything he or she does, he thinks and says, does this please Allah? If it pleases Allah, they will do it. If it does not please Allah, they will not do it. Such people, Allah said, the Quran will give them hidayah. Hudal lil muttaqi. So they will get guidance from the Quran. Even if they are not great scholars and whatnot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find the means, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them guidance from His kalam, insha'Allah. So therefore, the Quran is a book of guidance, but as I said, there is a precondition, which is taqwa. Of course, the Quran also is hudal linnas, is hidayat for everybody, all human beings. And this obviously includes everyone, plus taqwa, minus taqwa. But there is that guidance is like saying, well, here is a river, and the river is for anyone who drinks water, who wants to drink water. But on the other hand, you might say, here is a river, and the people who have some utensil to carry the water away from the river will have water also in their homes, because they take the water and go. The other, the river is there. I mean, you drink it, don't drink it, whatever, it's up to you. The river is there. That is the hujja, that is the argument which is being stated, and which is for or against everybody to say that the guidance has been provided to you. Udal linnas, it has been provided to all of you. Whether you take it or you don't take it, it's up to you. But hudalil muttaqin is because the muttaqi already is concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the guidance of the muttaqi, inshallah, will definitely happen. Wallahu alam. Now, therefore, as I say to you, truly the Quran will be a witness for us or against us on the day of judgment. A witness whose evidence will not be rejected, and whose evidence we will not be able to deny or refute. A witness who will be listened to, a witness who will intercede for us or complain against us. That is our choice. Now, who are those who earned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and he said, وَمَنْ يُطِي اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah said, and whosoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be in the company of those on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His grace, from among the prophets, of the prophets and the Siddiqun, and the martyrs, the shuhada, and the righteous, the salihin, and how excellent these companions are. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only mentioned those who received His blessing and grace, but promised to keep those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger with them. So we always say, Allah, resurrect us with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sahaba. Give us the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah on the day of judgment. Maybe be among those who will present our salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and receive his dua when we meet him at his house. And maybe be among those who will receive the water of Al-Kawthar from his blessed hand. And maybe be among those who will cross the Sirat behind him in your protection, O Allah. We make these du'as. How does that happen? By obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who said this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He said, what did he say? He said, وَمَنْ يُطِي اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. And whoever obeys Allah, and whoever obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ عَلَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ عَلَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And how beautiful are those companions, how excellent are those companions. So therefore, if we want to be resurrected with Rasulullah sallallahu, then let us follow his sunnah to the best of our ability in everything that we say or do. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned this matter of following the sunnah and the reward for it in Surah Tawbah. See the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this also in Surah Tawbah. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُم بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the first, سَابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ, the first to embrace, to enter Islam of the Muhajirun and the Ansar, and also those who followed them exactly in faith. As-sabiqun al-awwaluna min al-muhajirin wal-ansari wal-ladhina attaba'ahum bi-ihsan. Allah is well pleased with them as they are well pleased with Him. He has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow, which is Jannah, to dwell therein forever. Khalidina fiha abada. That is ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is supreme success. When the slave recites this ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha, he reflects on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he's asking Allah for, and what he needs to do for his dua to be answered. He makes tawbah and he changes his ways to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself anew that take this, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think that, you know, the more I try to talk about it, the more dissatisfied I am with my ability to do justice to it. This is the beauty of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is actually the beauty of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take this ayat of Surah Tawbah which I recited before you. As-sabiquna al-awwaluna min al-muhajirina wal-ansar. Now then Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could very well have said, السَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْسَارِ And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said that for them there is Jannah. Instead of saying, وَاتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَرَضُوَانٍ. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply could have said, السَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْسَارِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَرَضُوَانٍ. But Allah did not say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left that door open. The door for those who follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left that door open until the end of time. Until the last human being is on the earth. That last human being will have the opportunity to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and go through that door into that list of people about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. Right? They are pleased with Allah, and Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah. Now this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have closed the list by mentioning those who accepted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's da'wah, who supported him, who gave their wealth and lives in the path of Islam. They gave their wealth and lives in the path of supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Just think about the meaning of following the sunnah for them compared to us. For us today, following the sunnah is, for most of us, what is it? It is to keep a beard, for example. How much of blood you need to shed for that? How many times you have to cut off your head to keep your beard? How many millions of dollars do you have to spend for that? You have to do nothing. The only sunnah that happens with doing nothing at all is the beard. That is our test. You have to wear a hijab. This is our test. The rest of it, to speak nicely to people, to speak the truth, not to tell lies and so on and so forth, all of this anyway you do. Anyway we are supposed to do, we should do. That is the way any human, decent human being will live. But for the Sahaba, what was the meaning of following the Sunnah? The meaning of following the Sunnah was literally to put their lives on the line. Because there were people who were killing them for that reason. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left that door open. And Allah said, even if you do a little bit, you will inshallah be collected with those who did far, far more than you will ever do in your whole life. All of us collectively cannot become, our amal cannot be the equal of the amal of even one of the Sahaba. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy gave us this opportunity to be collected with them. Now if we reject that opportunity, if we don't take that opportunity, then believe me, who is to blame, who is responsible for that problem? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand the beauty of this religion, which is so easy, which is so natural, which is so which is so beautiful to follow for our own benefit in this dunya wal akhirah. And the one word for that whole thing is the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.